I'm Brandi Cruz, and this is Politics Unpacked. Politics Unpacked is brought to you by Future 42, making Washington a place for all to prosper. Sign up for their newsletter at future42.org. I'm Brandi Cruz. Welcome to week two of our weekly show, Politics Unpacked, where we take what happened in the legislative session that week and boil it down to roughly 10 minutes to help you make sense of it. I also keep my opinions to myself and just tell you what happened. We have to start with rent control. A rent control bill passed its first hurdle on its way to maybe the governor's desk. House Bill 1217 would cap rent and fee increases. It passed out of the House Housing Committee on Monday during an executive session. Morgan Irwin with the Association of Washington Business says its members, both big businesses and small businesses, are watching the legislation closely.
Many of our employers and employees are renters, and we're sensitive to that, and we don't want them to be taken advantage of because then they don't want to live here. But we have to have a place for them to live. And if our operators aren't willing to build new buildings to house those folks, then there's no place for them to be.
It's still not clear whether Governor Bob Ferguson would sign a rent control bill. He's expressed skepticism about the concept in the past. A couple bills this week on the public safety front. First, House Bill 1125 would give judges the authority to go back and lower sentences of offenders who are already in prison if the judge determines that they have earned an early release. Also getting a hearing this week in the House Public Safety Committee was HB 1178. It would change existing statute around sentencing enhancements. Essentially, it would get rid of certain sentencing enhancements for specific types of crime, and it would ease other enhancements.
Two sentencing enhancements are eliminated. The enhancement for certain controlled substances violations committed in protected zones, and the enhancement for involving a minor in a criminal street gang-related felony. Mandatory stacking is eliminated for firearms and deadly weapons enhancements, and enhancements for controlled substances violations related to manufacture of methamphetamine in the presence of a minor. The following sentencing enhancements are eligible for partial confinement and earned early release, including those for firearms and deadly weapons, impaired driving, and sexual motivation.
Democratic State Representative Roger Goodman is the chair of the House Public Safety Committee, but he's also the lead sponsor of that bill.
The public wants fairness in our criminal justice system. Fairness on both sides. The balance that we have to strike is trying to keep our communities safe, but also protecting individual rights. And that's a very tough battle. A lot of people take that for granted. And so when someone has committed a criminal offense, assault in the first degree, they're going to get a long sentence. And if there were five people there and they were merely wielding a weapon and no one got harmed, why should that person get 25 extra years when another individual might have, as I said, pistol whipped or shot them? They should get an extra 25 years, but the other person shouldn't. We need to make these very careful distinctions, because otherwise the public will not have confidence in our criminal justice system.
A couple bills to tell you about on the initiative front. House Bill 1296 is the House version of a Senate bill that would do the same thing. Both of them would walk back certain elements of the Parental Rights Initiative, Initiative 2081, that was passed into law by the legislature last year.
As staff stated, you know, this erases the rights outlined in the Parents' Bill of Rights that was bipartisanly passed.
The bill got a hearing in the House Education Committee. Representative Monica Stonier is the bill's sponsor.
For students who may be paying attention, whether you be wildly successful in school, whether you be with or without a home or documentation, whether you need support through an IEP or language support, and whether you identify as straight, gay, trans, however you show up, your success is our responsibility. And that's why I've offered the bill before you for the consideration of this committee.
Committee members heard testimony both for and against the bill.
The passage of I-2081 renewed a critical sense of trust and collaboration between families, schools, and government. This partnership has been essential in rebuilding relationships and increasing the trust after the challenges of the pandemic. HB 1296 jeopardizes this progress by creating unnecessary division and undermining the trust between parents, schools, and communities. Trust is the cornerstone of effective collaboration, and without it, we risk alienating families at a time when engagement is more critical than ever.
Teachers have stood in the gap and are the primary targets, are why I'm testifying pro, because of the protections for educators. Educators, as we've heard from students, are often the people who foster student identity and development, and are currently being targeted and pushed out of their positions because of this fact. I also teach at the University of Washington and hear the curriculum violence and harm and how they're being erased in their K-12 programs.
Republican State Representative Travis Couture asked the bill's sponsor about a concern some parents have that the state is taking their rights away when it comes to what's happening with their kids at school.
Why do you want schools to hide information about my kids from me? And what gives schools the right to decide what me as a parent deserve to know about my own children? Thank you.
Thank you for the question, Representative Couture. I imagine we will have a longer conversation about this after testimony, and I welcome a meeting with you and may Mike find time in your calendar to discuss just this. The rights of parents that were passed in the initiative and that we have discussed here in this committee do exist in other parts of statute, and if there is question about whether or not that information should be clearer, I welcome your feedback.
Senate Bill 5382 has also been introduced this week in Olympia and would amend the initiative process in Washington state in two ways. First, it would add steps for signature gatherers. They would have to sign the bottom of each page and make an attestation that the signatures on the page are, to the best of their knowledge, legal and valid. It would also add extra steps for the Secretary of State's office when it comes to verifying signatures, saying that the address that a signer used must match their address that they're registered to vote under. Critics of Senate Bill 5382 call it a blatant effort by the Democratic Party to undermine the initiative process and make it more difficult to collect signatures. When you have a problem, get Jesse. That's what Governor Bob Ferguson said this week when he announced that longtime Seattle journalist Jesse Jones would be in charge of Results Washington. Results Washington is a website that was started by Governor Jay Inslee when he first took office, and he said it would be a transparent look at some of the goals that he was setting in his administration. But the website came under scrutiny recently for hiding certain data that didn't reflect well for the state and the goals that former Governor Jay Inslee was setting. Bob Ferguson has promised increased transparency and says putting Jesse Jones in charge of Results Washington will do just that. That has been Politics Unpacked for this second week of the legislative session. I'm Brady Cruz. Politics Unpacked is brought to you by Future 42, making Washington a place for all to prosper. Sign up for their newsletter at future42.org. And in the meantime, join us 4 days a week for our live show, Undivided, where we give context and have important conversations about what's happening in Washington state and beyond. UndividedPod.com. That's UndividedPod.com.